This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings. We're continuing to look at what is happening after the death of Solomon. And we're in 1 Kings chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at the end of chapter 12 this evening. We saw that after Solomon died, Rehoboam, and on Sunday we saw that Rehoboam, his son, listened to bad counsel. He listened to the counsel of his friends instead of the counsel of godly men. And he said that he was going to rule the nation of Israel harshly, more harsh than his father had. He was going to make taxes more great and make the burden greater on the people. The people rose up and rebelled against that, even though he had been told by the godly men to remove some of the taxes and to make it lighter on the people. Well, we're going to be seeing this evening the consequences of that decision. And we looked briefly at the beginning of verse 16 on Sunday afternoon, but we're going to pick it up at verse 16 through the end of the chapter and see the beginning of what is going to be a division in the kingdoms. Israel had been one nation, unified under David. It also had been unified under Saul. But at the end of Saul's life, for a brief period of time, when David was anointed by Samuel to take over as the king of Israel, even before Saul, while Saul was still ruling, when Saul died, David took over the kingdom, and for a brief period of time, the house of Saul rose up against the house of David and attempted to usurp David's leadership, but the Lord put that rebellion down, and David took over the whole kingdom. It was a united kingdom under David. It was a united kingdom under Solomon as well, but at the end of Solomon's life, Solomon sinned grievously against the Lord. He rebelled and then he worshipped other gods, the gods that his wives had brought in with them from their pagan nations. And he worshipped those gods. And God said that there was a judgment that would come, and the judgment would be that he was going to take the ten tribes away from the house of David and give them to another. And it would be Solomon's servant. And that was Jeroboam. And so this evening, let's just take a look at as this begins to unfold. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion have we with in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse to our tents." And that means, let's go back to our homes. "O Israel, now see to thine own house, David." So Israel departed unto their tents. "And as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all the of Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up in his chariot to flee to Jerusalem." Now, I just want to give you a little background into this man, Adoram. Adoram had been the one that Solomon had used to go about collecting the taxes from the people and to placing the people under servitude or to serve him and to place heavy burdens on the people. And if you look at here, Rehoboam had made the statement, "I'm going to make things more difficult on you than my father did. I'm going to tax you more. I'm going to make you have to work harder for me. Everything that I'm going to do is going to, where my father had a thigh, my little finger will be put greater pressure on you than if it was my father's thigh." In other words, he was saying, just a little bit that I'm going to do is even going to be 10 times greater than what my father did. And then the person that he sends out to begin this taxation is the very man that Solomon had used to do all of these taxes and put the people under servanthood and put the take all of these things from the people. And so, not a smart move. And so this man comes and he demands that they pay, and immediately the people pick up stones and stone him. Rehoboam flees back to Jerusalem. Evidently he had gone and was with the guy, and when they picked up stones and stoned him, he fled back to Jerusalem and to flee from the northern kingdom. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day, and it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation, and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah, with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And so he assembles an army of 180,000 men to go up and fight against the northern kingdom, which is under the control of Jeroboam. Now, Rehoboam here, it says that Rehoboam also was able to get Benjamin to come with them. So he had Judah and Benjamin under his control, and they formed a confederacy which took the name Judah, because Judah was the main tribe, and Judah was a tribe of David, and it was the house of David that ruled from Jerusalem. And so we see that it was Judah and Benjamin that went up against the other 10 tribes. Now, he goes on and he says, but the word of God came to Shimei, a man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and unto the remnant of the people, saying. And the remnant of the people would have been those, there were some of the people from the northern 10 tribes that remained in Jerusalem and remained with the house of Judah and the house and Benjamin under the rule of Rehoboam. That's what would be the remnant. But the majority of the tribes, of the members of the 10 tribes of the north, had gone up there with Jeroboam. Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore unto the word of the Lord and returned to depart, according to the word of the Lord. Now I want you to see that Rehoboam, initially when he begins to rule and some of these things happen, he does listen to what God says. And this is one of the instances where he does. The servant of the Lord, this prophet of the Lord comes, Shimei, and he comes and speaks to the people, and they hearken unto him. And he tells them, this is God's judgment. It's the Lord that allowed this to happen. It's not that these people are rebelling against you just because they're rebelling against you, but it's God that's doing this, and it's because of judgment that was brought upon Rehoboam's father that was carried through because of Rehoboam's actions. But it was really judgment against Solomon for worshiping other gods and bringing all the idolatry into Israel. Well, what's going to happen in the northern kingdom? And that's what it speaks of in the last portion here. Now, if you remember from a couple weeks ago, we saw that the Lord had told Jeroboam, I'm going to give you the ten of the 12 tribes shall be under you. Remember, the prophet had come to him wearing a new garment. He took the garment off, ripped it into 12 pieces. He put 10 pieces in one pile and 2 pieces in the other. And he said the 10 pieces would represent the 10 tribes, and they would be ruled by Jeroboam. The Lord told Jeroboam, as long as you obey me, stay true to me, worship me, and do what I say, your house shall rule He made the same promise he had made to Solomon, that you shall rule as the king over these 10 tribes. It didn't take Jeroboam long to abandon what he told the Lord. He told the Lord, yeah, I'll do that. But already, the minute that he gains these tribes under his control, and remember, a remnant stayed with tribe of Judah. Remember that. And as we look at this, we're going to see what that does for Jeroboam. It says here, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. Now Shechem would be north of Jerusalem, and that is where Jeroboam made his headquarters, or where he ruled from. Penuel would be about straight east of Shechem, but it would be across the Jordan River on the east side of the Jordan River. And what he did over there, and why he built Penuel and made that a stronghold, is there were 2.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan River. There was half the tribe of Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben. And he wanted to make sure that they remained loyal to him. Plus, there were also enemies of Israel that were over there, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and other people that had warred against Israel. And so he built Penuel really as a military post or outlook, both to keep the 2.5 tribes in check, as well as to keep the enemies of Israel away from them. So he starts out with some good intents, but he does some things that are really going to make grievous to the Lord. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. We see already he's saying the people are going to return to the house of David, and I'm not going to be able to rule. Now God had told him, as long as you remain true to me, you will rule. But already he's doubting the word of God. He doesn't believe what God had promised him. He says, no, the people are going to return to David. And part of that may be because a remnant remained there. If this people go up to sacrifice at the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. I want you to see an interesting thing here. He says their heart shall return unto their Lord, unto their God, if they go up to Jerusalem. It should be his God too. But we see, he's trying to make a deal with the Lord to rule, but the Lord really isn't his Lord. God isn't really his God, and he really doesn't worship the Lord. And he should understand that the Lord had told all of the 12 tribes of Israel, they were to go up for 3 times a year up to Jerusalem, and all to worship there at the feast of the Passover, it was one of the times, and the Feast of the Tabernacles was another time. And they were to go to Jerusalem, and the place that they were to worship was in Jerusalem. That is where the temple had been built. That is where God said his house was. That is where the altars had been built, and that's where he told them to bring the sacrifices. He told Jeroboam, if you walk in obedience to me, the northern kingdom will be yours. Part of that obedience was to trust him that all the people wouldn't abandon him when they went to Jerusalem and say, oh, we're going to want to stay here and worship Rehoboam. Instead, what he says is they shall turn to their God, not his God. And so we see that there's an interesting thing there. There's a lot of people like that want to make a deal with God when things are difficult and things aren't going their way. Now, you probably heard of foxhole conversions, of foxhole religion, where people are fighting and men are fighting in a war, and they're in a foxhole and bullets are whizzing over their head. They can hear them whizzing, and they say, Lord, if you get me out of this alive, I'll do whatever you say and I'll serve you the rest of my life. And then their lives are preserved, and then things go back to normal, and they don't follow through on their promise to God, and they go back to their old way of doing things. That was Rehoboam. When things were difficult, he cries out to God, and the Lord says, okay, I'll do this for you. When Solomon was chasing him, because Solomon viewed him as a threat to his kingdom, then Jeroboam made this promise to God, and now Jeroboam's forgetting about it, and instead, God isn't really his God, because he never really worshipped the Lord. And it says, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. Now it's interesting, where do we see calves of gold prior to this dealing with the nation of Israel? If you go back at the time that Israel came out of Egypt and Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai and the Lord was going to give the law to Moses, and the people became distressed because Moses had been up there for 40 days. And so they went to Aaron and they said, you've got to make, God isn't God, Moses isn't coming back. We want to go back to Egypt. We want to worship the gods of Egypt. And so Aaron gathered all of their gold and made a calf of gold and they worshiped him. Now what was the significance of a calf of gold? Well, that was one of the gods of Egypt. It was also, if you go back to the Tower of Babel, it was one of the symbols that Nimrod used, and you even saw some of this during the Olympics, where you saw this giant head of this bull that they put as, and that was really symbolizing this same occultic religion. This has its roots in the occult. It has its roots in the worship of Satan and his demons. It has nothing to do with God, but Jeroboam not only builds one, but two places. And he takes one and he places it in Dan. The other, and this is not the in the land that Dan had inherited, but it's rather the land that Dan moved to. And you can go back and see that occurs back in the book of Judges, where Dan felt that there was better land than what God had given them. And so they moved up, way up into northern Israel, took over some land from some Canaanites up there, and that's where they settled up there. And he took one calf and put it way up there, and the other calf he put, as we'll see here, towards the south, closer to Israel, or to Judah rather. Whereupon the king took counsel and he made two calves and said unto them, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel. So he says, it's too hard for you to go to Jerusalem. So these are your gods, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he's referring back to Aaron when he made the calf. Calf didn't bring it out. Remember, God judged Israel because of that, and there were grave consequences because of the rebellion there. And if you remember, the most ridiculous thing of all when you read that is the Lord comes to, or Moses comes to Aaron and he says, what have you done? Why have you made this calf? And he said, I didn't make the calf. The people gave me their gold and it appeared. Really? The calf just appeared? No. You made it and you instructed it to be made. And what you were doing is showing a lack of faith in the Lord. That's exactly what Jeroboam is doing. He begins by telling them a lie about their history, telling them a lie about God. And I want you to see that the church, when false teachers come into the church, this is what they do, is they, the foundations of our belief, they attack and undermine and replace them. And one of the things you see that they attack is Jesus. They give you a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different God to worship, but yet they'll say it's all the same. He's saying, this is just like going to worship in Jerusalem, but I'm going to make it easier for you. A false teachers will come in and say, this is just like worship used to be, but we're going to make it easier for you. Remember, one of the things that a lot of times people will do is they'll come in and say they want to have user-friendly worship. A number of, it was about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, they ran an article back when the forum was still a paper, before it became just the internet, and they ran an article about a church that had theater seats with cup holders in the theater seats, and they offered beer during the services to make people feel more at home when they were worshiping God. And I'm going, okay, that's what we're supposed to do, is come and feel at home and that we were with our buddies when we worship God. And then one of the things that one of the people put out that's well known on how you grow a church is you pass out in the neighborhood amongst unbelievers, what would you like to see in a church? What would, if you saw these things, what would you do to come to a church? And if they put down, well, I don't like to have things talked about sin. I don't like that. Okay, we won't do any of that. What kind of music do you like? And this particular man had, where he had a church on the West Coast and began his ministry, he had different venues. He had the country western venue, he had the rock and roll venue, he had the easy listening venue, he had the old time hymn venue, and so you could pick the venue, the church that you wanted to go to. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God tells me I'm supposed to take a census of the unbelievers in the community, see what they want in the service, and then present that to the people so I can get more people to come. That's really what Jeroboam's doing. He's doing the same thing. You don't want to go to Israel. I'm going to make it easier. So I'm going to give you two options. I'm going to make two places you can go to, not one, and that way you won't have to go all the way to Israel, down to Jerusalem, rather, to worship the Lord. And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And so Dan is way up at the north end of Israel, and Bethel would be a little bit north and a little bit east of Jerusalem. And these are the two places he put. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. They couldn't go to Jerusalem because that was too big a sacrifice, but they go all the way up to the one at Dan to worship, to get as far away from Jerusalem as they possibly could to worship their demonic gods. And it says here, that he didn't stop there. Now, God had given specific orders when it came to the worship of Israel. Remember when we were studying the temple, all the sons of Levi, Aaron was the one that was to have the order of the priests. And the priests were to be certain descendants of Aaron and of certain children of Aaron, certain sons of Aaron. Their descendants were to do certain specific jobs in the church. And the Levites were to be the ones that would lead worship, and the sons of Aaron specifically were to be the priests. And now we see here, what does he do? And he made a house of high places, and he made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Aaron. In other words, he took people who were the least qualified spiritually to be the leaders, made them the priests, and none of them were the sons of Aaron. In other words, he defiled everything in God's Word. The places they were meeting, the things that they were worshiping, and then the people that were leading the worship. Everything he did established and went against everything that God said. Now let's go on. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. Now this would be to take the place of the Feast of the Tabernacles, and it would be held about a month after the Feast of the Tabernacles, but it wouldn't be held in Jerusalem, it's going to be held in these two locations. Now, why is he doing that? It's another thing that's mocking God. If you understand the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of the Tabernacles was to remind the nation of Israel how that God had come when they had left Israel, and that he had tabernacled with the people, when they left Egypt rather, and he had tabernacled with the people in the desert. As they went, the Lord went before them, and the Lord was with them. And it was to remind them, and if you go to a synagogue, and we used to have a synagogue in Fargo here that was just a few blocks from our church, and on the Feast of Tabernacles, if you go out there, they would build look like tents or tabernacles in the front of their synagogue in honor of the Feast of Tabernacles. What it was is it was a sign where they're to remember that God had been with them when he delivered them from Egypt. Really, it was looking forward to the day that the Lord would come and tabernacle with us eternally. God would be with us eternally when Jesus came, first of all, to take away our sins. He came to fellowship with us and redeem us from our rebellion and sin. But he's coming again to eternally be with his people and tabernacle with them. We see it in the book of Revelation. He comes and will once again rule and reign from Jerusalem during the millennial kingdom. And then when the new heavens and new earth comes, there'll be a new Jerusalem, and we'll live with him forever, and we will rule and reign with him from the new Jerusalem forever. The whole concept of tabernacling with his people. Well, he mocks that. He mocks the fact that God says, I have come to tabernacle with you. Instead, he makes a different feast that's very similar, but it's not the true feast. And he does it just about the same time, but it's not the same time. Everything he does is a counterfeit of what God has established. And that's what Satan does, is he brings counterfeits come against the truth. And so he's done all of these things, and so what he says here, the eighth month, and then he says, so did he in Bethel sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed Bethel, the priests of the high places, which he had made. So he had the main sacrifices, and he had his priests doing the sacrifices, but it was all that he had made. It was all made by a man, not by God. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered unto the altar and burnt incense. Everything he did was counterfeit. And the whole intent was so that the people would not go back to Jerusalem and their heart would not worship the true God. I want to tell you today, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, James, John, Jude, they all said in their writing in the New Testament that there would come those who would come to the church, and they would be really, their full intent would be to destroy the faith of God's people and to present them with a false gospel. The whole purpose of a false gospel is to present you with something that appears to be the truth, but is really designed to remove your faith and to destroy your relationship with God. Everything that Jeroboam did would turn the people's faith from the true God into the false gods, would destroy their full concept of what it is to worship the true and living God into worshiping these false gods, and it was all devised by the thoughts of men inspired by Satan and the thoughts that came from his heart. Well, I want you to see that this is not going to sit well with God, and on Sunday afternoon we're going to be looking at what the prophet of God comes to tell him, which isn't a good thing. And what we need to be aware of today is that just as at the time of Jeroboam, there are those that say, I want to serve God, I want to do this, Lord, just give me the opportunity. But then what their full intent is to establish their own kingdom. Jeroboam didn't want to lead the people of Israel, as David had done, to bring the people closer to God and show how God, if we are faithful to him, is more than faithful to us. But we see that instead he desired to establish his own kingdom and have the people follow him. And he didn't even want a chance that they would ever go back to follow God in Jerusalem and be close to Rehoboam, who sat upon the throne of David, which had been promised to where the Messiah would come. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to learn tonight from this lesson that the very things that Israel was facing and how that the majority of the people in Israel followed Jeroboam and his lies instead of turning to Jerusalem and the truth. And Lord, may we understand that we need to guard our hearts, call on you, and constantly seek to follow you in the truth of your word and not be deceived by the false leaders and prophets today that would try to undermine our faith and lead us astray. May we constantly seek to do it your way, not men's way. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn with me to 5:53.